From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Heading off to college is a big change for most kids. Some navigate it swimmingly. Others have a really hard time away from home and coping with the challenges of college. Today on Maine Calling, we'll get advice on making the most of the freshman year with three experts. Dr. Sarah Cunningham is Chief Student Success Officer at Unity College. Corey Pelletier is Director of Alumni and Career Services at Thomas College. And Malcolm Gald is President of Hyde School and author of College Success Guaranteed, 5 Rules to Make It Happen, and College Success Guaranteed 2.0, 5 Rules for Parents. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I have to confess, this program hits close to home. My oldest son, Sam, moves into his freshman dorm this weekend. I didn't plan the program today, but it is a good timing for me personally. Though I will say something that strikes me is that all he's been getting is advice, and I'm not sure right now all he needs is more advice, but without being overwhelmed. But anyway, as always, we want to hear from you in the audience. What advice do you have for college freshmen? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Malcolm Gald, you've thought about this a lot. You say there are three kinds of kids, three kinds of freshmen, three categories. This is an old article I found of yours. Those who take to this swimmingly, like ducks in the water. What are the other two types?
Well, there's the kids who sink like a stone, I guess, on the other extreme, and go crazy with the newfound freedom, because that's a real change for things. And then there's the people who sort of straggle along, but maybe don't get the best out of it, but do okay.
Is there a predictor for which your child will be?
Well, the reason I got into this, I've been an educator for 40 years, and I've never worked in college counseling, but I've watched thousands of kids go off to school. And it just seemed I kept noticing the same patterns over and over again. And that was how I come at it.
Okay, but you can't tell when you're sending your seniors off to college. Can you look at them and say, boy, I'm worried about that one, but this one I know is going to do terrific?
I do that, but I can't say that I'm always right. I mean, I've been surprised both ways.
Interesting. I love your title, Sarah, Chief Student Success Officer.
I love it, too.
Has Unity College always had a Chief Student Success Officer, or does that reflect a change of thinking, not only at Unity, but in higher education?
It definitely reflects a change in thinking. So there's a real focus on what the school can do to help students succeed. So I think we'll talk today a lot about what students can do, but we're also on the other side thinking about how to support them. So this position at Unity College is bringing together student affairs, all of the engagement and activity pieces, health and safety, along with our academic support. So my job is to help students graduate. They come to us. They want to get a degree and go off and be successful. So the goal is to give them everything they need outside of the classroom to succeed inside the classroom. And a lot of schools are focusing in this direction.
I know that, Corey, at Thomas College, you have a lot of first-generation college students. I'm really excited to have you on the panel for that reason, because I think a lot of kids whose parents went to college and maybe grandparents went to college grow up with stories. They get advice from their parents about, study this many hours, make sure you get enough sleep, sort of basic things. And your students, some of them will be getting that advice, but some will not. And I'm wondering how you advise different types of students coming to Thomas.
Sure, absolutely. We serve about 70% first-generation college students. And to your point of they're not really getting that advice at home, and those students feel most comfortable with their family because that's, what they've brought up. That's what they know. So when they come to college, now they don't have their family. So we have a lot of services on campuses on our campus that really cater to those students. We have a position similar to Sarah's on our campus, that oversees the Student Success Center, that has early access programs. It has a government trio program, peer tutors, peer mentors, And they really coordinate between the academics and the student affairs end of things to make sure all of their needs are taken care of. There's a lot of safety nets in place for students and for staff to be notified when there are issues that do come up.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that your graduation rate, that you have an equal graduation rate for first-generation college students as to second- and third-generation college students?
Sure, yeah. Again, we added that position about 10 years ago now, and we've steadily seen our retention rates and graduation rates go up from that.
So. Okay. So let's get to the nitty-gritty. Malcolm, what are your basic pieces of advice to a freshman starting school, college, university, community college in 2 weeks?
Well, it's funny because the three of us just spoke about that while we were waiting out in the lobby, and we all came to the same conclusion on the most important step, and that is you got to go to class. In my role, I've sent thousands of kids to college, and every single one that bombed when we did the autopsy after it was over, every single one of them didn't go to class. Never had a kid go to all their classes and bomb. So obviously the goal of college is to do better than bomb. But if you can make the commitment that no matter what, you go to all your classes, an amazing number of things will fall into place. And while many students will say, well, duh, of course I'm going to go to class, I just say go to class because mom's not going to be there to make sure you get up. You're really on your own, and no one's going to know if you do go or not. So it's awful easy to slip into a rut where the next thing you know, you're not going and nobody's doing anything about it. And really, that's number one.
Okay. You're nodding, Sarah.
Yeah.
Go to class.
Go to class. Just go to class. Go to class. That's the first rule. And I'm lucky I work at a small school where we do notice if students don't go to class. And that's one of our signs that a student might be struggling is in particular if they let something little stop them from going to class. It's a sign that they're having a hard time. Maybe they're not engaging. They're feeling intimidated, quite possibly. And so we can reach out to help them. But Malcolm said, it's up to them to figure out how to get to class and to make sure they get there. And I think something that really catches students by surprise when they get to college is the difference in the amount of free time that they have. So in high school, you spend most of your time in class, and that's where you're doing a lot of your work. In college, you're spending a small amount of time in class, and then you are responsible for doing a large amount of your learning and work, your assignments, on your own outside of class and managing your time that way. So I think it's a time management issue, and there's a lot that students can learn being organized and making sure that they are getting to class because it can be easy with everything else that's going on in college to forget, but that's what you're there, that's what you've paid for, and it's not just about what you learn in the class, there's lots that you learn, but it's also connecting with students, getting a chance to talk to your professor, hearing about changes in the syllabus or assignments, due dates, all that kind of stuff.
Sure, because when you're in high school, your time is managed for you. Mm-hmm. You're in school from 7 to 2:30, and then maybe you have sports practice, or you're in the school play, and so from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, you're doing that, then you're going home and having dinner with your family, and you know you have this much time to do your homework before you go to bed and do it all over again, and that's not how college is it?
Yes.
Well, and I often ask high school kids, I give some talks in the spring, and I go, if you just as an experiment, if you just stopped going to class here at this high school, how long would it take for someone to notice? And they always go, in an hour or so or 2 hours, someone would call home. And, well, you go into a place where chances are no one's going to notice. And as Sarah said, drowning in free time can be a real problem. And so that can just anchor you. I hate to keep going overboard on the same point, but that's the anchor. That takes care of so many things.
Well, we do have an hour-long program, so you're going to have some other advice. Corey, what would you add to that?
Sure. I think, one of the big things for first-generation college students is that fear of the uncomfortable. There's so many things that come up. They move onto campus. They have a new roommate. They're in a new place. They're in new spaces, and they're uncomfortable with everything. Communication can be one of their biggest advantages and one of the biggest disadvantages, depending on how they use it. And those things tend to snowball too as well. They miss a class, they miss a homework assignment, and it just keeps snowballing if they're not communicating and utilizing the services that are available on the campus. No matter how big or how small the school is, they have services available. It's just a matter of is the student, do they have can they get up the courage to go to those?
That's right. Does the late teen or young adult mind think I need it, what teaching them at what point do I need to find that service mm-hmm. that can help me?
Sure. Yeah. Oftentimes, if nobody says anything, it just continues on, and that's when it goes. I know. Speaking to Unity and Thomas, we're very small schools. So oftentimes there's somebody along the way that's going to pick that up. You're in a class of 25 students, right? So if you're not going continuously, somebody notices that. Coaches, advisors, and all that, they notice that type of thing. So if it's up to the student, it varies. It could be the next day they go and ask somebody. Other times it's somebody kicking them to go and to go and do that.
Yeah. So I think if Malcolm's rule is going to be go to class, the one thing I would want to make sure to say is ask for help mm-hmm. if you need it. I talk to students who get themselves in trouble and then they're embarrassed to ask for help. And I promise you, when you go to talk to a professor, a counselor, whoever it is, they've heard it before. Everyone messes up in college at some point, and you got to just pick yourself up and keep going. You're not the worst story they've ever heard. You didn't invent procrastination. Other people have done it. So don't be embarrassed. Just ask for help. That's what our whole jobs are. If you didn't ask for help, we wouldn't be employed. So don't be embarrassed and reach out to people.
Which is the hardest for college freshmen? I remember a long time ago being overwhelmed by laundry. All of a sudden, I didn't have any clothing to wear and I didn't have any time to do my laundry. Is it the non-classroom things that get many students, or is it the academics, or does it depend on the student?
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer for everyone, I think. It does depend on the student. But like Corey said, there's a lot new, right? There's just a lot of things that are different that they're adjusting to. And so, you know, they don't necessarily know how long it takes them to do things. If you haven't done laundry before for yourself, then how long does it take you? How much time do you need to plan to make sure that you still have time to study? But those are skills that students can learn. So, you know, as students go through and find things that turn out to be difficult for them, learn from them, build organizational skills, figure out how to prioritize your time, and that'll help you be successful.
And it's a good question because it's maybe the first time in your life that you have to compartmentalize all of those things. You know, you have to go to class and you got to study, but then you got to take care of the laundry and you got to have some friendships and you maybe get involved with a club. And so I would say that doing that whole collection of things and doing it at once and dividing it out, that's a tough one. And everybody's different. I mean, I think it's, kids, you find out it takes longer for some to – the professor assigns 70 pages. For some people, that takes longer than – you need to find out how long it takes for you.
Yeah.
Corey, at the beginning you talked about how your students at Thomas College are so close to their family. What advice do you have for kids who feel homesick?
Sure. call your mom every day. Call home every day. It's okay. You know, parents – on the other hand, need to understand how to handle that too as well. And maybe Malcolm could shed some light on that too as well. But it's okay to call home, but you need to understand that going home for everything isn't the answer as well. But if you do feel homesick, you do have to satisfy that somehow.
So if kids live within a couple hours of campus, you don't advise them going home every weekend to do their laundry and get a home-cooked meal?
No, not at all. There's a lot of things a lot of experiences they'll miss out on mm-hmm. Over the weekend and a lot of good learning experiences that they don't really think of at that point in time. But they do turn out. Those situations with roommates, those situations with RAs and all that, they're all learning experiences.
Yeah, so while we talk about students potentially getting overwhelmed with how much stuff there is, we also know that students who get involved do better in school. So getting involved in clubs, participating in activities on the weekend, help students connect and persist in school.
It also throws you in to a world of other like-minded, committed kids doing something constructive. If that makes sense. I mean, you're going to align with a group of kids. Students. You're going to do that. And some groups are more constructive than others. I played a spring sport. I always did better in the spring than I did in the fall. I had to be somewhere. My time was accounted for. And I was also surrounded by a group of individuals who also wanted to perform well. And so you fall into that. But if you fall in with a group of kids who are primarily interested in the happy hour every afternoon, then you're going to do that. You know, so it can have a real impact on your relationships, can be really important.
Okay. How about, and I'll turn to you for this one, Sarah, how about roommate advice? Chances are your freshman will be rooming with a stranger. Chances are your freshman has had his or her own room.
Yeah. So one of the things that's changed since most of us went to college, I think, is that a lot of students have connected with their roommate on Facebook, online, before they get to school, which is great. But living with someone else is part of going to college if you can live on campus. Our residence life department has learning outcomes for our students. We want them to learn how to appreciate differences, how to work through differences of opinion, how to work with other people, compromise. Those are all really important skills for the rest of your life. So we do also mediate roommate issues. They do come up. But I think probably my big piece of advice would be to listen and empathize. Put yourself in other people's shoes. One of the big benefits of college, we know from research that a lot of the cognitive development that college students do, they do it no matter what we do as an administration or a school. It's just about meeting people from different backgrounds, learning about them. That's a big part of the growth that happens in college.
Well, believe it or not, we already have to take a break. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have tips or questions or comments about surviving the freshman year of college, maybe I should rephrase that, thriving during your freshman year of college, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling.
This is Snow Pond Center for the Arts. Presenting December 63, the Frankie Valli and Four Seasons Tribute, August 25th. Tickets at snowpond.org. And Casella, handling over 1 million pounds of recyclables daily in Maine through its Zero Sort program. Casella, giving resources new life.
Philosopher Travis Reeder thinks we can avoid climate catastrophe by cutting the global birth rate soon. He wants countries like the U.S. to impose a carbon tax on kids.
We as parents, we as family members, we get the good. And the world, the community, pays the cost.
A moral case for population control. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's ahead this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Tuesday, August 23rd, is MPBN Day at the Portland Sea Dogs. Our super friends at Sea Dogs have generously offered to host us and offer you, our members, viewers, and listeners, a ticket discount. But wait, there's more. The first 800 people in the stadium for the game will score a Morning Edition host Irwin Gratz bobblehead, and Clifford the Big Red Dog from our PBS Kids lineup will be on hand to greet you and try his hand at a first pitch before the game. Tuesday, August 23rd at Hadlock Field is MPBN Day at the Portland Sea Dogs. Visit mpbn.net and click on events for more information.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, making the most of your freshman year in college. With me in our studio, Corey Pelletier, Director of Alumni and Career Services at Thomas College. Malcolm Gauld is president of Hyde School and author of College Success Guaranteed, 5 Rules to Make It Happen, and College Success Guaranteed 2.0, 5 Rules for Parents. And Dr. Sarah Cunningham is Chief Student Success Officer at Unity College. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. On the line with us now, Nancy Jennings. She's a professor of education at Bowdoin College. And along with co-authors Lee Cuba, Suzanne Lovett, and Joseph Swingle, has written a new book called Practice for Life, Making Decisions in College. Nancy, welcome to Maine Calling.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for inviting me.
How did you go about doing research for this book?
Well, we started in 2006, we invited 36 students that we randomly selected from each of our seven colleges the summer before they started college, and we asked them to participate in this longitudinal study that we were going to do. And then we trained, before the fall started, we trained some sophomores and juniors to interview these students, and they interviewed them three times in the first year, and then twice every year after that, and once again a year after they graduated. So that ended in 2011. We didn't really pick these students with anything in mind. We didn't pick the best students that we thought, entering. We really did randomly select them. The interviews were very open-ended. We asked first about the transition to college and what they thought about their courses and how they picked it, how they picked their college in the first place, what was happening with their roommates, those kind of things. And then we just sort of gradually asked questions that were more appropriate every year for what they were actually going through. But we really let the participants sort of direct the force of the interview.
An underlying theme of your book is that throughout college, students are making all kinds of decisions, and that these decisions lead to something you call self-creation. What do you mean by this?
Can I start with the story? Is that okay?
Sure.
One of the students in the book, we call her Nyleen. She was a somewhat shy person and a good student, but wasn't very outgoing. And she went to a speaker that she really admired from a distance. The speaker did a lot of the same work that Nyleen wanted to do in college and afterwards. She sat there and listened to it and, realized that she really wanted to introduce herself to this person. So she went up after the speech and did introduce herself, and it started a conversation that she then continued throughout college and after graduation, and she still is a close mentor to Nyleen, this woman. It was a sort of moment where Nyleen, who didn't see herself as someone who would ever introduce herself to this sort of famous person that she was hearing, but she got the courage to do it, and so she did, and that recreated who she thought she was. She was someone who could do that now, where in the past she probably hadn't thought that. And I think one of the really, super things about college is that it requires students to make all sorts of decisions all the time, some really small, like who they're going to have dinner with, or big ones, like what they're going to major in. And each of these decisions in some ways gives students a chance to restart their college experience.
So here's your chance, food for thought for freshmen coming into college or for their parents. What's your best nugget?
Well, it's funny listening to the other people on the panel, because I would have thought our orientation speeches must all sound exactly alike. So I agree with everything that they say. I'm going to add a few more, if that's okay. Mindful of your Sam, who probably has had enough advice at this point. I think you want to stay in the present. In our book, we came to see college as series of decision makings that is punctuated by deadlines, and we often ask students to orient themselves to the future. They have to decide what a major is by a certain point, or they have to decide if they're studying away, or if they have to find a roommate by the lottery. And these things often push students to think in the future more than what's actually happening at the time. So to the degree that they can, the deadlines have to be met, but they have to remember to try to think about what they're experiencing as it's happening, because I think a lot of students forget that. I think every semester you have to work hard to be engaged, and obviously you can't do that if you don't get to class, but you have to find something that you want to be passionate about. You may find you don't like your courses as much as you thought you would, but find an assignment or a reading or a comment that the professor made that you want to understand better and dig into it. Don't dismiss a course as uninteresting. Really, really try to find something that you can become engaged in. Can I add one more that
sure.
I think is really critical? I think these seemingly mundane decisions like Nyleen made can make a huge difference. So think about the small decisions as well as the large ones, and think of them as opportunities to learn about yourself. If you view a decision as an opportunity to learn instead of an obstacle, you'll gain a lot of understanding of yourself and the world, and that seems like a critically important thing to do, and I think that'll make your college experience so much richer.
Well, Nancy, thanks for joining us today. Nancy Jennings, a professor of education at Bowdoin College and co-author of the book Practice for Life, Making Decisions in College. We're going to move on to our other calls now, and let's start with Steve calling from Blue Hill. Hi, Steve. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Thank you very much, Jennifer. I think the program is excellent, and it's nice to hear young people getting worthy advice from adults, not on graduation day, but when they're starting their college career, when they could really use some good information and get themselves set for probably what will be the most influential years of their lives. And my comment is, as a former professor, what I tell people I know who are starting off to college is, in every one of your classes, at least once a week, ask the professor an intelligent question related to the content. And by intelligent question, I don't mean, is this going to be on the test, which is a question that should never be asked. But asking one intelligent question, and you will stand head and shoulders above your peers. And not only that, but you will feel more engaged with the class, and it'll help you work harder and be more conscientious and feel more of a personal relationship with the professor, in the sense of satisfying that professor's need to feel like they're there for some reason other than a paycheck, which, believe it or not, is not all that satisfying for a professor. They like to feel like people are engaging with the material and that the content is getting through. So, you know, one intelligent question per class per week, and it'll make all the difference on a lot of fronts.
Well, Steve, thanks for calling in and joining the conversation.
I want to echo that talking to people, as I said earlier, is very important. And again, another thing we know is that student outcomes improve if they have mentors. If they find someone who cares about them and their learning and helps them feel motivated and empowered to learn. And that's why people become college professors. They love working with students. They want to talk to you. And so I would echo that advice to talk to your professors. Use office hours. Go and say hi. Make sure they know who you are. You're making important connections in college. One of the things I sometimes say to students is that they imagine that their career is going to begin when they graduate from college, but their career begins when they start college. They're making connections that can help them get internships, that can help them get their first job. So it's important to make sure that people know who you are.
All right. Thanks, Steve, for your call. We're going to go to a Facebook post from Martin. I have been a high school teacher for 29 years, 28 at Bangor High School. I always advise students entering college to enroll in the smallest possible number of classes during their first year so as not to be overwhelmed. For example, if 12 credits is the minimum number to be considered a full-time student, enroll in no more than 14. I've seen so many students take on 18 or 20 credits and find themselves unable to keep up with all the work. That's an interesting question because, you know, a lot of people are spending a lot of money for college and thinking that we taking the fewest credits possible isn't exactly getting your money's worth.
Yeah, and so it's interesting advice. It's something, the right number of classes and the right workload is different for each student. And that's part of getting to know yourself, which is part of the work that you do in college. You do want to make sure that you're progressing through your program at a good pace, so you don't want to end up getting through your first year and then not be a sophomore, for instance, because you haven't taken enough credits. But you do sometimes see students who take on too much. But again, it's a learning experience, and really talking to your academic advisor at your college, they'll have a good idea of what kind of workload is involved in the courses, what kinds of courses you should be taking in each semester, and they can hopefully really guide you through that process so that you get graduated on time without taking on too much.
All right. We're going to move to Larry calling from Bangor. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I'm going to be the curmudgeon. Number one, I agree with the professor, having taught, that I liked it when I got questions. Number two, I think most students aren't really ready. Back when I went to college 50 years ago, we were expected to finish in 4 years. Now they talk about 6 years. And I think what most students are too immature and too ill-prepared mentally, and I think they need to go to work first and find out why they're going to college.
Sure, and there is a big trend toward kids taking a gap year, for example, or doing something meaningful with a year or two between high school and college. I know we've done a Maine Calling program on that. Malcolm Gauld, what advice do you give to high school seniors at Hyde who are thinking about college and thinking about a gap year and thinking about a job?
Well, I can say that my advice has changed. In my earlier years, I've now been doing this for 40 years. I used to say, "I'll go to college, get going, get there, and get moving." You know, that's what I used to say. But in accordance with what the caller I think is saying, in more recent years, I've said, you know, if you don't really know why, part of it is it's so expensive. I mean, I went to college, and when I went to college, it was $4,700 a year. I went to a private right here in Maine, Bowdoin College, $4,700 a year. That won't buy you a month now. So you need to know why you're going. I think working is a good idea. I like the gap year, but I guess what I almost said when we were talking about the mentor thing is I think the reason I've written a second book for parents is I think parents are too involved in the process and are often too involved in controlling the gap year that I've seen. So that's another issue, maybe. But
and I'm guessing, Corey, a lot of parents are afraid of a gap year, thinking if my kid doesn't go to college right out of high school, they're going to do maybe what I did and you know, get a decent job and then it won't make financial sense to go back to college and they'll never go.
Sure, yeah, it certainly is an interesting perspective. And again, all students are different, right? So some are really prepared, some not so much. But if you don't go right off oftentimes or at least get that taste of it, you really don't know what it's like. And there is a lot of pressure on students now, high school students, to go right to college. High schools, at least here in the state of Maine, are keeping statistics on how many go to college, how many college applications they're filling out. There really is a lot of pressure to kind of figure it out too early. And that's not only in education, it's in sports, it's in all of society now. So
it's true. We're going to go to Sorrento and Terry. Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to relate a couple of things. One is I was sent away to boarding school when I was 14 or 15. And I found in the college I went to, most of the kids had never been to boarding school and never been away from home. And some of them didn't even know how to make a bed or anything. I mean, they just been coddled their whole lives. So boarding school is a terrific experience in terms of preparing. But I should say that the first morning after I'd gotten to college, I went down to breakfast in the cafeteria, and I saw two guys who were doing the New York Times crossword puzzle in ink. And I think they finished in less than 10 minutes, 15 minutes maybe. I'd never seen anything like that. I'd never finished a crossword puzzle in my life. I'm dyslexic, so I'm a little slow at reading and stuff. And these guys completely blew my mind. I realized I was in a whole other world. I should point out they were from Great Neck, Long Island, and had gone to a public school there, and it was a terrific school. These guys and I and a few other friends basically developed our own. We didn't join a fraternity. We were a little sort of friendship group. And one of these guys that were doing the crossword puzzle gave me a bit of advice because I was completely overwhelmed by the course load. And he said, "Well, they give you more than you can do. The goal is to get you to budget your time and figure out what you can do." His second bit of advice was, for the first month, do everything you can to read everything that is assigned. And in that first month, no doubt you'll be asked a couple of questions. And if you can answer them completely and fully, you can then kind of coast for the rest of the semester because the professor will go on to ask other kids questions.
That's interesting advice, Terry. I have a few Sarahs over here laughing. This is don't tell the kids at Unity that now, right?
I'm all for clever strategies for success, but I think I think you did get some good advice there in terms of budgeting time and that sort of thing. But I'm also struck by your story is about finding a group that you belong with and a sense of belonging, and I think that speaks also to our earlier caller. One of the things that students struggle with sometimes is feeling like they belong in college. You get there, you see someone impressive, you get an assignment that seems really hard, and you think, uh-oh, what if I'm not supposed to be here? And the answer is if you want to be there and you're willing to work hard, you are supposed to be there and you'll make it. And we find out that if students are given that sense of belonging, that's our job as a school, then they succeed, they persist even when they struggle. And that's something that parents can help with as well. Believe in your children. They can do amazing things. And if you keep telling them when they struggle that they're going to do better, they will do better.
Great advice. And that's why we're here. We're going to take another short break. When we return, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Friends School of Portland, where Quaker values create a culture of joyful learning. Information at friendschoolofportland.org. And by Maine Adaptive Sports and Recreation, offering free year-round recreation to people with physical disabilities at Sunday River, Sugarloaf, and beyond. MaineAdaptive.org.
On the next Fresh Air, the microbes that live in and on our bodies and how they contribute to our digestion, immunity, the triggering and suppression of inflammation, body weight, general health, and disease. We talk about microbiome research, including whether probiotics are actually beneficial, with Ed Yong, author of the new book, I Contain Multitudes. Join us.
That's ahead tonight at 7 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. And coming up in just about 20 minutes in our 2 o'clock Public Affairs Hour, Ideas from the CBC brings you Rewilding. Ideas will be looking at the practice of rewilding, allowing landscapes to revert back to a natural state. And Ideas looks at examples in Canada and the Netherlands. Coming up at 2 o'clock on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, a successful freshman year in college. In the studio with me, Malcolm Gauld, president of Hyde School, the author of two books on succeeding in college, Corey Pelletier, director of alumni and career services at Thomas College, and Dr. Sarah Cunningham is chief student success officer at Unity College. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. An email from Tom in Brunswick touches on something I was hoping to get to in this program. And Corey, I think this is a question for you. I think it's important for you to recognize that you've misidentified the theme of this show. Your discussion is really focused on the experience of one type of freshman college student, full-time students at residential four-year colleges. Commuting college students, part-time college students, and community college students are also college students. He goes on, but it is a point I really wanted to get to. And Corey, you don't have only full-time students at Thomas College, correct? There are also part-time students and commuting students.
Correct. Yeah, we have a population in the day, about a third or a fourth of our students that do commute. And then we have an evening and graduate program where they're working professionals that come back and go to school.
And when you drill down in the statistics nationally, and I don't know about Thomas Colleges, is that the kids who are part-time or the young adults who are part-time or the older adults who are part-time or commuting do not have as high a success rate in college as those who start when they're 18 or 19 years old and go for 4 years. What advice do you have for them to overcome those statistics, to overcome those odds?
Sure, yeah. If you're coming back just part-time, it certainly means you have something else in your life that's taking that time and pulling you away. So for those professionals that may be coming back, they could be mothers that just had children that are coming back or have a full-time job and are trying to balance or trying to get a step ahead to get a new job, is really have that understanding of what that other time is in your life and how much can you really allocate. Because once you dive in and do a few classes at a time, you really have to put a lot of energy into that, which means taking time away from family, sacrificing some work, some vacation time. So there really is a big sacrifice there for folks that are going back. So understand that spectrum of time and how you're going to balance that time management again for those professionals. So.
Sarah? Yeah, I think it's also worth mentioning that these days a lot of people are going off to college without leaving their house and doing online education and the same kinds of challenges. There's a lot of freedom out there, a lot of choice, but also a lot of management that folks have to do in order to get through school while also managing all of the other responsibilities in their life. It's a big challenge, but a lot of people are taking it on and being very successful with it.
All right. We're going to move to Ashley, who's calling from Springvale. Hi, Ashley. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I was just calling with very brief advice. I wanted to mention to new students going into college, if they're moving far away from home, I think it's a very good idea for them to be aware of the mental health resources in the area. A lot of times it's very, very difficult to move away from home and be away from everything familiar. And I know I had that problem myself, but I didn't know what was available. I didn't even think to look for resources, counseling, a mentor, anything. I mean, not just for yourself, but for others. I just think that's really important for people to know.
And I think that colleges have changed. There is a lot more available as far as counseling than there maybe was when somebody's parents were in college, isn't there, Sarah?
Yeah, so colleges have really stepped up the level of support that they're offering to students these days. And we also see increased demand on those services. And I think to some extent it's because there's less stigma, which is great. People are more open about things and willing to work on seeking help and getting what they need out of the experience. So colleges, really a lot of the investment in colleges in recent years have been in these support services that students need. So they're there, but again, you got to let someone know that you need help or you have to get out there and, like your caller says, find those resources for yourself.
Yeah, all of these, the new stressors, right, the new roommates, the new everything, really oftentimes bring out different behaviors that even students don't see in themselves or their friends. And, yeah, the mental health services are a big thing all college campuses. And, again, to hit on the stigma of it now, it's a lot different than it used to be.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashley, for your call. Moving on to Sharon, who is calling from Topsom. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Hi there. I wanted to just touch on the point about how there's a lot of pressure for students to finish in 4 years. And I think that it's okay if it takes students longer than 4 years and maybe even 6 years. In fact, I earned my degree in 10 years. And I'm curious about the research that says if you don't complete it in 4 years, you're less likely to succeed. I'm wondering how far that research follows someone before they determine whether they're successful or not.
Sarah?
Yeah, so I don't know of research that says that folks who complete it in a longer period of time are less successful overall in their lives. That there might be studies that I'm not aware of. I think what we're referencing are the challenges of coming back to school after taking a break. It can be tough. Managing school while managing other work responsibilities, which is often a reason why students take longer. If you can do it and you get through, then you have persisted through those challenges and are going to do great in your life. And particularly those work experiences that we were talking about that you might get during a gap year, but you can also do while you're in school. And employers want college graduates with work experience. They want college graduates who they know are ethical thinkers, know how to work with other human beings, can communicate well. Having those experiences, I think, will make students more successful.
Sharon, thanks a lot for your call. We have an email from Betsy. Suggest to shy students to meet one new person every day for 2 weeks. There are other shy students just like you who would like a hello.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a neat perspective on the career end of things. We talk about networking a lot, right, and helping your career and professional life, but it's the same thing with your group of friends.
All right. Let's see. We'll go to Beth, who's calling from Wyndham. Hi, Beth. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks very much for your show. I am a professor at St. Joseph's College, and I wanted to pass on a piece of information or a suggestion to parents. parents need to look at their first-year students as having a new full-time job, and that is being at and going to college. I teach a freshman class each semester, and every year I have a first-year student who comes up to me and says, I'm not going to be in your class tomorrow because, and here the person fill in the blanks, my mom misses me too much, and she only has Thursdays off, so I need to go home. My brother is having his wisdom teeth out, and I'm the only one that can take him. Nobody else is home. My grandmother is coming to visit, and she's only going to be at our house Tuesday and Wednesday, so I need to go home. That really doesn't set up their student for success at all, and it gives them a reason to not only leave campus, but it puts them into a very difficult situation because we are telling them, you're here now, this is your job, do your best, attend class. And then they've got mom and dad saying, gee, I can't be at the store today. I need you to come home and, you know, take over for me. So if parents can maintain that belief that that's the place their kids have to be now, they have to be at school, I think that will go a long way to helping them be successful.
All right. And Malcolm, you have a lot of thoughts on parents and their involvement in college once the child leaves the home or the young adult leaves the home.
Well, first I would say if you're a parent and your child is going to college next year, congratulations. That's a great thing. That's a real accomplishment. We raise our kids and that's one of the things we hope will happen. But you can probably tell I've got another shoe about to drop. And what that is I always tell parents that chances are you've been for the last 18 years the primary manager in your child's life. And I think that's more so true now than it was 20 years ago. So I propose that it's now time to get fired. It's time for your child to fire you. And I think it's better if they fire you. You can resign, but I think it's better if they fire you. And if you play your cards right, you'll get asked back to be a consultant. And being a consultant is a lot better than being a manager. And that's the role you want to be. You want to be a consultant. You don't want to be a manager. And one way to do that, a simple rule of thumb is, I tell parents a simple rule, wait for their call. When you drop your child off, have the next time you talk be a call from them to you, not a call from you to them. And just try to follow that rule. And then at the end of the first month, one of the nice things about cell phones is they tell you who called who. Check it. Look at your phone and see who's calling who. And if you're calling your child more than they're calling you, I'm proposing you shouldn't be doing that. It should be the other way around.
Oh, my goodness. You're putting a icicle through my heart, Malcolm Gold. So at what point should I be fired? When I drop the child off at the freshman dorm or prior to that?
I like to say 18, but... But there's that tough. I mean, I've done it myself. I've sent two kids to college, and when you get back into the car in that parking lot and drive off, that's bittersweet. It's a lot of feelings. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is I think it's very important that our children are there to work something out. And I mean, I could go on and on about the cell phone, how that can really get in the way of that, but. Particularly the texting, but just keep an eye on it. And I think the caller is correct. I mean, there's a reason you go away to school. You're trying to sort some things out. You're trying to really develop your executive function for your future.
All right. Sarah, I know you wanted to talk about growth in college.
Yeah. So this is going to be one of my big goals this year is to make sure that one of the things that students can learn in college is that they can get better at things. And that might sound kind of simple, but I think it's very easy to get the message in life that you're a person who's good at some things and not good at other things. So I hear from students all the time, I'm not a math person. I'm just not good at math. And if that's what you believe, then every time you come up against a hurdle, like a math problem that you can't do, then it just becomes a discourager. The fact is that students can get better at things. We can all get better at things. So another piece of advice for college students would be to try something you think you're bad at. Take a class in something that you think you're not going to do well at, because the fact is that you'll get better if you practice. If you work hard at something, you try it, you will get better at it. Everyone can get better at math. Everyone can get better at acting. Everyone can get better at communicating with other people, can get better at writing. So push your comfort zone a little bit and try something that you're not sure you'll succeed at. Learning to get over failure and keep going is an important piece of being a successful adult.
And Corey, I'm guessing that you would agree with that and also say don't just continue on the same path you've been in high school necessarily.
Sure, absolutely. It's really a new opportunity to be yourself and find yourself. Oftentimes students in high school, they conform to what their group, what they think their group wants them to be, and what society thinks they should be. When they go to college, they have all these new experiences, and now they can maybe be the leader they wanted to be. They could be that outspoken person they always wanted to be. There aren't many students that come out of high school knowing what they want to do and continue and do that. So you don't really know yourself yet, sorry to say. Find something new, find yourself, and eventually be yourself.
And you never know how that's – be open to – it could be – you never know what you're going to benefit from. Sarah was speaking earlier about roommates. My first day in college, I decided my roommate and I had nothing in common. I went to the dean and asked for a change. The dean, to their dean's credit, said, no, we put a lot of work into this, and so you're going to have to figure out how to get along. And 7 years later, that individual was best man in my wedding. But if I had had my way, I would have ended it in 24 hours. Maybe he would have, too. So you never know.
That's a great story to end everything on. Thank you all so much for being here. And I apologize to those hanging on the phones. This has been a very popular program. Malcolm Gall, the president of Hyde School. He's also the author of College Success Guaranteed, 5 Rules to Make It Happen, and College Success Guaranteed 2.0, 5 Rules for Parents. Sarah Cunningham is Chief Student Success Officer for Student Unity College, and Corey Pelletier is Director of Alumni and Career Services at Thomas College. Jonathan Woodward ran the board today. Allie Burns answered your calls. Today's program will be rebroadcast this evening at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and C. Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, join us as we listen back to our earlier conversation about confronting terrorism in the Middle East. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.